Let us pray.
Our loving Heavenly Father, we invite you once again to fill this room with your presence, to animate the words that come out of my mouth and the receptors in our ears and in our hearts, so that you might make a divine connection, that you might speak to each one of us, and your words might transform our hearts and draw us to a greater faithfulness in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the internet has changed our lives in many ways. I'm sure almost every one of us uses the internet in very significant ways. One of the things that the internet is actually good at, because it is by nature a technology that networks. So one of the things that human beings have considered the internet good at is to create matchmaking websites. Okay, and so there are many matchmaking websites. In fact, there are many people that I know personally who have found their spouses on the internet through matchmaking websites, and it's perfectly good, and this it's actually a great tool for that. But there are different kinds of matchmaking websites, and each of these matchmaking websites are targeted to a different audience. I came across a site recently. It was in the news because it has a very, very strange audience that it targets itself to. This particular website targets itself to people who are already married. And the tagline of this website is, "Life is short, so have an affair." Okay? You can imagine. If you are appalled, then there were many people who are appalled by this website. And in fact, there are a team, a hacker team, that went into this website and got into all of the user data of this website and told the owners of this website that if you don't shut this site down, we're going to expose all of this data. And so these people, they did not shut the site down, and so the hackers went ahead and dumped all of this information on the internet for all the world to see. And as you can imagine, it was a shocking thing for many people. Now, it's a lot of data, and so there are some people who have gone into this data and analyzed this data. And I thought the statistics were very, very interesting. So there are 39 million people that this website has, 39 million people spread across 53 different countries. Now, let's not look elsewhere. When you look at our own country, they found a very interesting statistic, that if you wanted to find the people who were registered on this website, and if you wanted to see if there were some parts of the country that were more sinful than other parts of the country, you would be interested to know that there were people found in every single zip code of the United States registered on this website, except for 3 zip codes. And these 3 zip codes happen to be towns with a population of only around 200 people in very, very remote parts of the country. 2 of these towns were in Alaska and 1 was in Arizona with just 200 people. And so because of their population, they had no internet access. So that is why there were no people from those 3 zip codes on this website. Now, there's also some interesting statistics which say that when you analyze the proportion of male and female on this website, it's very interesting again. So of the 39 million total users, there are 55 million female users registered on this website. But when they actually analyze these 55 million female users, they found that most of these users are actually fake accounts that were created by software programs that just went and automatically created female profiles on this website. So when they analyzed that further, they found that only 2% of those 55, 5.5 million female accounts were actually created by real females. And even of those 2% accounts. Once the real females created those accounts, they never really checked their accounts most of the time. And so when you analyze the active users for men versus women, you get 13,585 men who actively use the account for every one real woman who actually used the account. So this is a huge discrepancy. I mean, this really paints a pathetic picture of those 32 million men in committed relationships who are actually trying to have an affair with a computer program. So it's sad. It's sad. But I mention all of this because the very fact that such a website exists speaks very powerfully to the human condition, to human nature as it exists. There was a journalist who went undercover to investigate this website before this hack was made public. And as she was investigating this journalist, she made a comment which I thought was very interesting. She said that people in intimate relationships, people actually in every relationship, have two needs. A need for stability on the one hand, and a need for novelty. And she said that it's really difficult to get both of these in any relationship. And so she rationalized that that is the reason why people cheat. Right? You can't really have both of your needs met in most relationships. So, you know, that's why people cheat. Now, when you look at the Bible, God is very, 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 very serious about faithfulness in your marriage relationship. And in fact, God actually uses the marriage relationship as a metaphor to communicate the dynamics between God's relationship with human beings. It's that important for God, right? And so the passage that we read today really very clearly communicates that what God thinks of people when they are unfaithful to Him. God doesn't take that lightly at all. But before we explore this idea of unfaithfulness in intimate relationships, I need to first unpack really what the Bible talks about as the most important relationship that you will ever have. The relationship between yourself and God. And that's what I want to begin with today. You see, the first thing that God says about relationships is that you have to love the Lord your God above everything and everyone in this wide world. God should be our first love and our highest love. Now, you will find this idea all over the Bible. You will find that God says, right from the first commandment, the first commandment is, you shall have no other gods above me. Jesus, when he was asked to summarize all of the commandments and point to the greatest commandment of all, he does not hesitate even for a moment to reply in Matthew 22. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. What God is doing here is that He is giving humanity a very important reference point for human life. The first commandment for God is like the cardinal north on the map of life. Once you know where north is, you can figure out where south is and where east is and where west is and everything else in between. Once you know what is the most important thing in life, then everything else in life can fall in the right place. You see, this idea of establishing the most important relationship in life is what God was doing when He tested Abraham by asking him to sacrifice his son. God was not interested in asking Abraham to kill his own child. What God wanted to know from Abraham was, after having walked with him for some time, was, does Abraham understand that my relationship with him takes supremacy over every other relationship that he has in this world? Jesus makes it very clear in Matthew 10:37 when he says, anyone who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now some of you may be saying, well, how can you really love God whom you cannot see that much, right? Because the people around you are the people that you have to deal with every day. And so, how can you love God whom you cannot see more than the people that you see around you all the time? Well, it is true that you cannot see God, at least right now. But remember that God is an infinite being who has already done an infinite number of things for each of us. And so, even though you cannot see God right now, you can see and experience what He has done for you. In fact, there is so much to know about God and His love for us, finite beings, that it will take an eternity for each of us to get to know God fully. And that is the reason why you'll never get bored in heaven. You see, because it's going to take an infinite period of time to get to know an infinite God. And God wants us to get a head start on knowing Him right in this life, so that the rest of your life here in this world can also be beautiful and be a great starting point for what He has planned for us for eternity. Love the Lord your God with all of your being, God says, because your relationship with God will define every other relationship that you have. Now, to love somebody is to get to know them. And so today I'm going to present two things about the nature of God so you can get to know God a little bit more and thereby love God a little bit more. The first aspect that I want to talk about is the unfathomable nature of God. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16, it says, who has known the mind of God? In Romans 11:33, it says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable His ways. In the Old Testament, when God appeared to Moses for the very first time, Moses asked God for His name. And what does God say His name is? God presents His name as Yahweh, which means I am who I am, which also can be translated as I was who I was, and I will be who I will be. In other words, God is mysterious, He is unfathomable, and beyond anything that we can categorize and control. When you understand God, the one thing you get to know about God is that His ways are always above our ways, and we can never fully predict or grasp God's plans. In the New Testament, when Jesus explained to Nicodemus the meaning of the spiritual birth in John 3:8, Jesus describes it like this. He says, the wind blows wherever it pleases, and you cannot tell where it is coming from and where it is going. So it is, he says, with those who are born of the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit of God is like the wind. It is mysterious and unpredictable. When Jesus was asked when He is going to return, He says, in effect, only the Father knows. So when you walk with God, you never know where He will take you and what the next step of your life might be. I can tell you that when I first got into ministry and began an intimate walk with God, I could never have imagined that He would take me to the underground church in Vietnam or China. I would never have imagined that He would have taken me to Kansas City, for that matter. I would have never imagined that in Kansas City there would be a church called Argentine Maronite Church that I would be pastoring, and that in this particular church we would be one day playing the tabla and singing Nepali songs. You see, God always takes us by surprise. Lamentations 3:23 says, God's mercies are new every morning. God is doing new things every day, and some of us who have made a commitment to Christ get to enjoy a new covenant that God has inaugurated. And God is not done yet with doing new things, because the book of Revelation says that suddenly, at any time, and in fact, at a moment where no human being can predict, in a blink of an eye, there will be a blast of a trumpet, and everything around you will change forever. At that time, Christ will return in power, and nothing that exists on earth will be like it was. In fact, the book of Revelation says that everything will be remade. There will be an entirely new heaven and an entirely new earth. And all that can happen at any moment. You see, as you get to know God, you will have no doubt in your mind that the God of the universe, the God that we worship, the God of the Bible, is an unfathomable God who is always about his business, doing new things in our life and in the world around us. But just when you think I may have convinced you that God of the Bible is unpredictable and unfathomable and doing new things all the time, I'm going to share another aspect of God that may surprise you even more than everything that I've shared with you already. You see, when you search the Bible, there are 93 verses in the Bible that talk about the unchanging nature of God. Consider Malachi 3 verse 6, which says, I, the Lord, do not change. Psalm 102:27 says, the world may pass away, but you are the same, and your years have no end. In the New Testament, in Hebrews 13:8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. On James 1:17, it says, every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or even a shadow due to change. In fact, if you were to rewind the tape of history and go all the way back to the flood story of Noah, this is where really for the first time God establishes his unchanging character. You see, after the flood, God said, I will never destroy the world again in a flood. No matter what happens, no matter whether you guys are going to be righteous people or not, I am never going to do this. And when God promises something, he never changes his mind, no matter what the circumstances may be. Isaiah 48 says, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God stands forever. Not only is God good for his word and his promises, but God's goodness and all the rest of his attributes never change as well. In fact, God's unchanging character is our greatest source of security, the greatest source of security for human beings. You see, you and I do not control anything. We do not control the weather. We do not control the circumstances of our life. We do not have any certainty about how the people around us will behave. But we can be sure of this one thing, and the Bible is very clear about this. God never changes. God's word never changes. God's attitude towards you will never change. And God's Son, Jesus Christ, will never ever change. The more you walk with God, the more you realize the fact that if you saw God fulfill his promises to you yesterday, that he will fulfill his promises to you today as well, and all the rest of the days of your life. Our God never changes. Two aspects of life, the unfathomable God and the God who never changes. So what then does a believer who loves God really have? A believer who loves God, when you look at these two aspects of God, has this incredible security of knowing that we worship a God who is dependable, who always loves us, who will always be there for us, who will fight our battles for us, and will always be faithful to us. That is the incredible security that we have. But a believer has more than that. A believer also has a life that is unpredictable and exciting and new every morning. And you know what? What the journalist I referred to in the beginning said is true. All people have this desire for both security and stability in their life on the one hand, and newness and excitement on the other hand. And these two things, which happen to be actually polar opposites of the other, can never be met in any one human being. It can only be satisfied by God, because that is the very nature of God Himself. So the stability and newness is something that only God can give you, because those are two aspects of His very nature. Now, here is a problem that plagues the whole human race and even the people of Israel. It plagues us and it breaks God's heart. And the problem is this, that human beings, they first reject God and then they walk in their own way, trying to seek from other sources what they can only get from God. You see, and then human beings, they desire those attributes of God, and they look for it in relationships all over the place. They get into relationships with people, and then they find that their regular relationships don't satisfy. And so then they say, maybe I'll get it in an intimate relationship. And they get into an intimate relationship, and they find that those relationships don't satisfy either. Because you either get stability or you get excitement. You never get both in a human being. And they feel that these intimate relationships don't satisfy, because their spouse is either too boring or too crazy. And so then they seek the unpredictable in another relationship, looking for forbidden fruit. And this, my friends, is really the root of all unfaithfulness. The root of all unfaithfulness. So the fact of the matter is that unfaithfulness to your spouse happens when you expect to get from your spouse only what God can give you. And if you are the kind of person who has rejected God, then you go on searching for God in human relationships and all the things around you, and ultimately never being satisfied. And then when you look at extreme cases of celebrities who have all the fame and wealth and no boundaries really in what they can do, and you couple all of that with the fact that they have rejected God, and then you get people who look in for satisfaction in all kinds of places. There is a celebrity who was in the news recently who described herself as being pansexual. So what she does is she sleeps with one person, with a guy 1 week, and then a girl the next week, and then a transgender person the next week, and a bisexual person the next week. You see, when you search for things that only God can satisfy in human beings, you will search and search and you will not find it. And you will find that nothing in life satisfies you. If you reject God, it is hard to find satisfaction anywhere else. And when you don't have meaningful relationships, violence and evil become the most prominent feature of the landscape around you. This is what we find in our Hosea passage, where Hosea declares, there is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. There is only cursing, lying and murder, stealing and adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. It is in this context of unfaithfulness that God's people, that God in Hosea chapter 4 declares that there is no faithfulness in the land. On the other hand, when human beings do have a relationship with God like it's supposed to be, an interesting thing happens. Remember what Jesus said in John 3:8 about a person who was born in the Spirit? Let me quote that verse to you again. Jesus said this: "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound but cannot tell where it's coming from and where it is going. So it is with every person who is born of the Spirit." If you really think about this verse, it is really fascinating because it's not only talking about God, but it is talking about the redeemed person. And what Jesus is implying here is that if you are born of the Holy Spirit, then you too become a person in which new things are happening to you all the time. You are growing in Christ. You are led on a path that is exciting and unpredictable. At the same time, you are a very trustworthy and dependable person, because in the map of your life, you know where the north is and you never mess with it. You also have a foundation in Jesus Christ that can never be moved. And Christ gives you values that you never negotiate on. So when you put all of these things together in a person who is born of the Spirit of God, you get the best kind of person you can ever have a relationship with. Whether it is just a simple friendship or a team member or even the most intimate relationship of your spouse, it is only a child of God that can really enjoy the best kind of relationship. Remember that you have been made to have a relationship with God. God has put a vacuum in your heart that only He can fill. If you reject this God, you will spend your whole life trying to fill this vacuum inside you with things that will never satisfy. That is, by the way, our world of broken relationships. On the other hand, if you know God, He will satisfy the deepest longings of your soul and transform every relationship around you so that each of those relationships spark of the divine. May each of us be blessed with the deepest intimacy possible, because our God is an amazing God. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we want to thank You. We want to thank You, O Lord, because You look upon us and You say, "I love You. I know You. I want to walk with You. I want to celebrate life with You. I want to partner with You. I want to use You. And I want to use You to glorify Myself." And there is nothing equivalent to this in anything else in the world. We really can have it all. We can have that stability that comes and security that comes from knowing You. And we can have the excitement of a life that is always new every morning. So help us, Lord. Help each of us be completely and fully transformed in our spirits so that we can have this kind of relationship with You. And then turn around and bless and love the people around us and be instruments of Your love in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.